Anybody? I mean, I heard that a lot this morning. Yeah, it's okay to be tired. It happens from time to time. Here's my prayer. I'm hoping that as we listen to the word today, that something would fill you. Amen. And you would feel refreshed. Amen. And you would feel re-energized and just say, you know what, I can breathe. I can allow God to tweak and make some adjustments in my heart and my soul. And just breathe in his presence and his life-giving power in your life. I think that the Lord has given us something straight from his heart this month, and Blake really brought this to the forefront and did a great job last week talking about a rule of life and what it is. So if you did not hear last week, I encourage you to go to our website and listen to that, go through that. We're going to keep this trend for a little bit, and it was hard to break open this topic and then just, get off and move on to something else and be like, good luck with that thing we talked about, because the more we looked at this and studied this and just allowed God to work it into us, I think the more we were like, this is really significant, big stuff that demands and requires our attention and some intentionality. So I hope that you will take to heart some of these things and take some of the applications and work through them. Last week's was just praying and fasting with us for you guys that did that last week. Thank you so much. I really believe that, I felt like that was one of the most together fasts we've done, and I just really appreciate all of you that participated in that and meeting and praying Wednesday. So, awesome. So we're going to jump in this week to our New Year's, not resolution, but rule of life. And what that is, we've laid out. This week, I want to really jump into why. Why a rule of life? And hopefully this will make some sense to you and begin to work it into your heart and soul. Again, if you're a guest here, we're really, really honored to have you. My name's Beatty. And I'm on staff here, and so we're honored by your presence. And if something's good to you this morning, it's okay to say, hey, that was good. Uh-huh. That'll help me, maybe help some other people around you who might be, drifting. Like, wait, what was good? And just keep us in the game today. That rainy stuff and whatever else is going on this weekend, help us, Lord. But you know what, more than... I like that. I really do like your feedback. But more than that, I think if you could take this and begin to apply that to your life, or what we're talking about, that would be the greatest that was good that you could ever give me, is you and Jesus working on this together. So, all right, this is a scaffolding that you would use to build whatever project you're working on. So we want this visual to stick in your head. Remember that a rule of life is a structure, is like a scaffolding in your life that you can use to build or work on or allow God to work on the more important thing, which is the structure that you're working on itself, which would be your life. All right? So remember that the rule of life is not about this. Okay? It's not, let's build a great structure for structure's sake and marvel at the scaffolding. Like, nobody goes to a construction site and marvels at this. They marvel at the masterpiece or the final project that's being built. Now, I say that, right, but you're about to marvel at something. Jesus, if the structure of our life, our rule of life, is like a scaffolding, something that we can begin to adopt as a pattern, as a routine, as a way of living. Jesus came to give us a new way to live. It's why he came. We have systems, we have routines, we have thoughts, we have ideas. I love the passage. I live by the passage that we have thoughts, but God's thoughts are higher than ours. So it's okay to say, God, what is the best way, or what is the way that you want me to live? And this is why Jesus came, to not only teach, but to model the way of life that will get us the results that our hearts were made for. And so I fear that sometimes, because Jesus taught a new way 2,000 plus years ago, it's like we're in a fast-paced culture. We're in a microwave culture, right? And we want new stuff. We want faster ways. We want better or more modern ways. And so sometimes I feel like it's like, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Can I find something more modern? Can I find something more relevant to the 21st century? Something a little more fast-paced, and we might neglect the better way just because it's quote-unquote older or has been for a long time. I want you to take a look at these scaffolding systems from some pictures in Hong Kong. Some of the greatest buildings in the world, and this is built from bamboo. This is a bamboo scaffolding to build some of the largest and most majestic buildings in the world. You can see people building it and walking on it. Next slide. And it just goes up and up and up. Can you imagine? This is thought to be safer because it's lighter. It's easier. It's easier to work with. If it falls on your head, it might not kill you like, you know, some metal. It does less destruction if things don't go right. But it's ancient. It's ancient. Yeah. They use this to build buildings that didn't look like this or structures that didn't look like this. Next slide. And it just goes all the way. Can you imagine that whole thing being surrounded by bamboo to build a structure that magnificent? And you can just kind of breeze through those now, Jay. Check it out. All bamboo. And it's wrapped in plastic, but behind that is more bamboo. But look at these buildings. But yet this ancient way of building is still being used to build some of the most modern and magnificent buildings to look at. So here's what I want you to consider this morning. Look at that. Just because it's an ancient method or an ancient way, if you will, that Jesus taught us to live, doesn't mean it's not the best way. And so it's very important to consider our rule of life and our way of life, especially when we're looking at the results that we're getting. And so let's jump into why. And I want you to remember that, before you get too tired, as Blake talked about last week, we all already have a rule of life, do we not? If it is a routine or a pattern or a structure by which we live every day, we already have one. But my question to you this morning is, why pay attention to this, or why should we care? I would ask, are you getting the results in your life that you really would like to see? Are you feeling more relaxed these days? Are you feeling more at peace? Are you feeling more joyful? More patient. Patient, especially when things aren't going the way we plan them to go. Right. You know, I heard this quote this week that C.S. Lewis said, and he said that you are who you really are when you are interrupted. The way you respond when you're interrupted is who you really are. This has haunted me every day. Because I have three children, and they are lovely children. They're beautiful children. They're fun. But sometimes I have a plan for the morning. I want to grind my beans. I want to spend time just pouring over those ground beans and just let them just create that beautiful aroma. And then I want to sit down and just crack open my Bible and listen and just enjoy the gift of God. Come on. You know? And then the interruption comes. And that, you know, just that frustration, that just that thing in me. I asked you the question, I'll answer it in front of you. In many ways, I am not. I am not who I want to be, yeah, or getting the results that I want to get. And I think about Jesus, and we've been studying this and just listening to people describe the life of Jesus as slow, relaxed, at peace. And a lot of the miracles and things we read in the Gospels happened as interruptions. And Jesus just responds, and I'm just like, I am not where I need to be. Because I just don't feel relaxed many times or at peace, especially when interruptions come. And so that is a massive reason as to why I think it's important that we consider and look at, and we as a staff are doing this, and we're encouraging all of you to do this with us, to look at our routine and our rule of life and say, well, what can I do to organize this and build this the way Jesus taught and modeled so that we can begin to get the results in our lives that we want, okay? So why a rule of life? Number one, and I'm going to be in most of this kind of coming from this passage today. Number one, it's biblical. It is biblical. And I want to read from 1 Timothy 4, really 7 through 10. And Paul writes, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." It's usually an attention-getting, you know, sentence when Paul writes stuff like that. "That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe." This phrase has really stuck with me as we've opened up this subject, but to train yourself to be godly. Think about that. Many of you in here are probably trained for a lot of different things. Training for work, trained for school, trained for a team, trained for some type of athletic performance, trained for a new job. We know what training requires, but how often do we look at our spiritual result in our spiritual life, righteousness and godliness and becoming more like Jesus, and think of it in the context of training for it? Yet Paul says and admonishes here, train yourself to be godly. And that's what we're doing when we begin to create a system, when we begin to create a routine, create habits that as they're developed, by default, they begin to produce righteousness and intimacy with God in our lives. That's what we're doing. We're training ourselves to be more like Jesus. And so therefore, it's biblical to look at this aspect of our lives and consider, hey, is the structure of my daily routine pushing me closer to Jesus or doing something else in my life? And so it's biblical. You know, in one of our devotions for the fast this week, there were videos as well accompanying the little devotion books. And somebody mentioned a quote by theologian Dallas Willard that really made a difference or an impact in my thinking. And so I went to his website and found the article. And Dallas Willard writes this: "The path of spiritual growth in the riches of Christ is not passive. Grace is not opposed to effort." If you would let that sink in for a little bit. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. Effort is action. Earning is attitude. You have never seen people more active than those who have been set on fire by the grace of God. And so there's something biblical and there's something okay about channeling our effort because of the grace that's been poured out. We have not earned God's love. We have not earned his favor. That was by grace alone through faith in Jesus. But when that happens, there's still something biblical about taking that and channeling all of our effort into becoming more and more like the person Jesus saved us to be. And grace is not opposed to your effort. Sometimes I feel like in this grace-saturated move or study, we tend to just kind of think that means sit and veg and just let God just do whatever, and we do what we want or don't really have any part to play. But Paul says, train yourself to be godly. Right. And I love the way Dallas Willard says it. You've never seen people more active than those who've been set on fire by the grace of God. Something happens inwardly. And our way or our rule of life begins to change into something that wants more of him, okay? Number two, why rule of life? Because our unplanned or default rule isn't working. Remember, we already have a rule of life. Right. There are certain things when we wake up in the morning without even thinking, like a response, we do. Maybe it might be grab your phone, turn off the alarm clock. It might be turn on the news. There's just something that we do. Pour your cereal, do your coffee. I mean, we just do it. And it just continues throughout the day. But without any careful planning or training or evaluation to say, Jesus, is this the way that you would have me live? We tend to get results that we aren't that satisfied with. In this passage, verse 7, 1 Timothy 4, he says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Assuming there are myths out there that might beckon to us about what is best, but he says, have nothing to do with them. If the way of life or a myth or a cultural trend that we've adopted is not producing godliness, if they're godless, have nothing to do with them. Now, when it comes to spiritual growth, I'm afraid that a couple of the myths that we just naturally fall into or adopt is one that in order to grow closer to God, we have to... It comes by way of these mountaintop experiences. Yeah. And so our rule becomes, by default, without thinking, we just wait for the next mountaintop. A conference, a moment in a corporate setting of worship where we just wait for things to tingle. I feel him. You know what I mean? Like, God's changing me. And then we go search for the next... somebody who's in town speaking at a Coliseum. And we're looking for the next mountaintop experience and thinking that's the only way that I can grow is just get and sit under somebody else's anointing or whatever. And we don't pay very much attention to what we're doing on a daily basis. Or the other side of that, or another myth to our spiritual growth, is we are disciplined to the hilt. I will be disciplined. I'll read this much a day. I'll pray this much a day. I'll get my system. I mean, some of you just like, we talk about this stuff and you're like, oh yeah, yeah. This is me. I got the routine, just get this down. And what happens is we become disciplined for discipline's sake. And we build the rule and the structure and we marvel at the scaffolding and it's all about the rule and the system and the discipline. And we think, now I'm going to grow. I got everything in order. But really what it is I feel like I'm in control. I'm controlling my routine, controlling, and that makes me feel better because I'm in control. And it was just discipline for discipline's sake. You'll get the result that you're aiming for there. You have a tidy schedule, you'll be very disciplined, and you'll feel good about it. And that's all it'll produce. It possibly might produce frustration and anger later as you feel like, why am I in control yet things are still not the way I thought they would be? And so we want to stay away from these two myths and just get behind Jesus, walk with. I love these words of Jesus. Come. Just come to me. All of you who are weary. You're heavy laden. You're burdened. You're stressed. You're full. Come. I'll take your hand. I'll walk with you. I'll give you rest. I mean, this is Jesus. And he promises to be with us. He promises to walk with us. He promises to teach us what we're really after. You know, we're whatever our rule is, whatever our routine is, whatever our structure is, we're after certain things. And what if it is that the way that Jesus would have us structure our lives would produce the very things that we're really after? Meaning, significance, peace, relaxation, joy, love, patience. And what if it's already there? But we're like, well, that's bamboo. You know, I don't isn't there something better than that? Like just being still and just listening and praying and meditating. Like, it's gotta be something a little better than that now, right? What if? What are some other myths? You know, Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Assuming that there is a pattern,
right,
that the world espouses, that he's saying, don't do it. Don't live that way. And many times, whatever's just the cultural trend or current, if we're not intentional about this, becomes what we adopt. And Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Just from a little bit of thought, like, what are some of these patterns for us? Maybe one that sounds like this, more is better. It's kind of a pattern, I think. James hinted on it just a few minutes ago. If I can get more, then it must be better. More square footage, right, more, you know, more lift on my truck, more tire, you know, like more tire circumference. I mean, it's like, it's got to be better, right? If it's bigger, it's better. If I can have more, it's better. Yeah. Or money is happiness. Yeah. Money is security. If I can just make a little more money, get a better job, I mean, you name it. But we have these patterns that the world just teaches. It's like a common sense to man, if you will. But yet, what if they're the pattern of the world and Paul's saying, don't conform to that? Or what about be true to yourself? Just be you. What is yourself anyway? That's the question, right? Be true to who? Who Jesus died for and rescued you to be and laid hold of you for? Or the yourself that you feel like you should be? There's a big difference. Just be true to you. Yeah, I'm just doing me right now. Just got to do me. Maybe that's a pattern of the world. Or just do what makes you happy. If it makes you happy, Shug, it's okay. You just do what makes you happy. Or as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, then it's okay. There's a pattern. I mean, there's many of these. I mean, this is top of my head. There's a pattern of the world that maybe we should step back and consider. And if there's a pattern of the world, then there has to be a pattern of Jesus. In fact, I just took these and then said, well, what would Jesus say? Check out the next one. More is better. Well, what about scripture? More of God and less of me is better. That's actually what the gospels say. More, that you would increase and I would decrease. More of God is better than more of me. Or instead of money is happiness, Timothy says wealth is uncertain. God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Wealth is uncertain, not happiness. In fact, it's God and security in God and my identity in God who actually richly provides everything for our enjoyment. That's a lot different. Thank God for Scripture. Be true to yourself. But Jesus actually said, deny yourself and follow me. Sounds a little different. Right? So there is a yourself that we really shouldn't be trying to be true to. We have a sinful nature. We have a feeling-based nature that is confusing at times. It will confuse you and me. We just sit back and gaze at our feelings and ourselves and try to figure that out. Some of you on campus know what I'm talking about. I mean, you sit in certain philosophical classes and just gaze and leave all confused. What are we talking? What is a human? What is life? What do we do? I mean, you know what I mean? Just confused. No reference, just liquid intellect. You know what I mean? Just do what makes you happy. What about do what makes God happy? In turn, making you holy, and then really deep down, making you happier than you ever thought you could be. True happiness is rooted in becoming who we were made to be, which are sons and daughters of God. As Paul says, slaves to righteousness. That's where happiness is. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone, it's okay. Jesus actually said, love all people. Remember that enemy part? Yeah. Even your enemies? The same way that I've loved you. You know, so one pattern is like, you know, if we don't have to be around people, it's okay. As long as we don't hurt them, just kind of keeping distance from certain people. Jesus says, no, we're actually to love and draw close and serve all people in the same way that he did serve and love and sacrifice for us. Two different patterns, two different ways of living. Why should we consider our habits and our rule of life and our routine? Because there's a pattern of the world and there's a pattern of Jesus. And we want to take a serious look to say, am I living, am I structuring my life according to the pattern of Jesus or according to the patterns of this world? That's why we want to take the time on this. All right, number three, why a rule of life? So our lives are being built with gold, silver, and precious stone. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul says, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. So think about the scaffolding. This is not you, but the beautiful, magnificent building being built is you. That is your life. And that is God's. And he's given us a pattern. He's given us a way of life that would facilitate the very building and structure that he would want to build. And so Paul says in this passage, the foundation, Jesus, has already been laid. Then he says, but different materials could be used to build the building. Yet one is going to crumble and not last, and the other is going to stand eternally. Gold, silver, precious stone. But it's wood, hay, and stubble, and things that, quite honestly, are not eternal, are not lasting. and that building's not going to be what it was intended to be. And so we want, why? Because we want to have God begin to build in us what he wants and what he desires. I love that. So our rule of life is to support what's being built. It's not about the routine itself. So some of you need to hear this. So having the main goal is God's design for our life is why it's okay if we don't get the routine perfect all the time. If we don't get the disciplines down perfectly, if we don't execute them perfectly, it's okay. It's a rule. It's a routine. It's designed for something else, and we just continue. We just continue to allow God. We walk with Jesus. We continue to say, hey, Lord, is there anything else I can tweak or change? I want to get closer to you, and he's faithful to speak to us. But if we fail, it's okay. It's okay. It's not discipline for discipline's sake. It's habit and routine to be closer to Jesus, to abide with Jesus, to walk with Jesus. That's the whole point. And see, here's the thing about many of us. We have values. We have priorities, if you will. But many times if we're honest and we look at the routine of our lives, the habits of our lives, they don't always line up with what we say our values and our priorities are. Right. And this whole idea of rule of life is so that we can allow our routine to be in sync with our values and our priorities. If we value closeness with Jesus, if we value righteousness, joy, peace, patience, love, if we value intimacy with him and with one another, then we're trying to organize our routine so that those things can line up. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So the question is, are our support poles, if you will, our structure, our routine, actually reflecting our values or what we say are our priorities? And so maybe the first thing we need to do as we begin to look at our rule of life is just begin to create space. And this is going to be one of the main application for today, is that we could just open up our lives before the Father, before Jesus. Now, this is one of the suitcases I pack in sometimes. You ever been on a trip where you were very limited in what you could bring with you? If you've ever flown anywhere, then yes, you have. And then when they said, hey, we're going to charge you for the bag that goes under, you're like, oh, whoa. And you're like, whatever I could cram up there is what I'm taking. Just usually this and a personal book bag or something. And I've had many trips like this. One last summer, my in-laws have an RV and have taken some really fun trips across the country. And sometimes the grandkids have gotten to go for a little bit, or my wife, and I stayed home. And last summer I got to go. But we had 10 people in one RV. So they were like, you can come, but you only bring one bag. Just one little bag, because we don't have room. And so I was like, okay. And so you just begin to open up and be like, all right, what, you know, maybe you packed and then found out. And you're like, well, I need to create some room. And so if this is our life, if this is what we begin to do and just say, what is in here? I mean, the thing's full. My life's full. Anybody feel full in their schedule, full in their life, fast-paced, you know, whatever. And some of you, you're good with that, but at some point that wave hits you. When you stop and it's like, boom. What might need to come out? And so, I don't know, you think about a trip, I'm thinking about life. There's some silly stuff in here, but I need room, right? If I'm going on a trip out west, I don't need my buddy, though. Because I need space, but also because he's a little creepy. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is he even still in my life? We found this guy. My 7-year-old ran. She ran. I'm like, what's wrong? She said, he's creepy. So maybe we don't need that, right? You know, I mean, I probably don't need house shoes if I'm on a trip. And so maybe this needs to come out of my bag. Maybe I don't need that in my life in this season, you know? I'm hoping that you can begin to start looking at your life and say, what? I mean, in this season of my life, I don't need this. You know? More space. More space. I'll keep the deodorant in there so everybody else is happy and I'm happy. I'll keep some hair gel in there. That's good. Like some good molding paste in case we go out to dinner. But, you know, maybe there's only but so much time to read. So I got to choose between a magazine or news or whatever, current events, or some good C.S. Lewis. You know what I'm going to do? I'm bringing C.S. Lewis with me. I'm going to read something for my soul, not just maybe some junk food of culture, right? But you get the point. Maybe there's not even a power outlet, you know, out west, and we don't need our devices, right? Maybe we don't need our screen time. We don't need iPad or PS4 or Netflix. You see what I'm getting at here? There's a lot of silly stuff in here. But here's what I want you to take away. If you would just begin to, this week and in the weeks to come, allow God, or before God, open up your life and just take a look with the Father. Take a look with Jesus. Invite him into this process. And let's just look at your life in this season. I mean, some of you with little kids are not going to be putting in the same things as a college student. So in this season, just open up your life and say, Lord, where can we create space? What's in here that, I'm not saying they're bad, they're all bad. And I'm not also just talking about routine and schedule and calendar. And I'll tell you that over the break, my wife and I had to say, you know what, we're taking our calendar after this insane semester we just had. We're taking our calendar and we're going to take a machete to it. And we're going to cut out time and figure out what really, really, really matters in this season. But it might be what you do with the space that you find in your life. Because the hard reality is this. Many of us, if you say, how you doing? Busy. I say it all the time, busy. You know what I normally hear? Good, good. You know, that's good. I'm like, yeah, is it? You know what I mean? Like, but like, we're trained to be like, if you're busy, it's good. Yeah. But the real question is, are you healthy? And the hard truth is that many of us feel busy because even in the space we're given, we waste it. Guilty. And John Mark Comer, author and pastor in Portland, says this, if it's 4 minutes or 4 hours, what normally happens is we find space, we grab our phone, and the digital carnivore eats that time in 2 seconds flat. And so we feel busy, we feel full, yet we're not very fulfilled or satisfied. And so would you, this week, I encourage you, take time, open up your life, invite the Holy Spirit and Jesus and say, how can I create space? Calendar, soul, activity, I mean, my routine. Maybe it's not turn on the news first thing. Maybe it's turn off the radio in the car every time I'm in the car and just listen. Maybe it's build in worship music instead of news at certain areas of the day. Maybe it's put the phone in another room for X number of minutes every day. Maybe it's limit Netflix every, you know, so many hours a week. That would be a great rule of life or a routine, not because Stranger Things is of the devil or all this kind of stuff, but because it just, it's like, you know, hey, I got some space. Let me relax and veg. And 3 hours later, you know, after a whole season or two seasons or three seasons, it's like, I mean, how do you feel when that happens? You know what I mean? Like, I don't normally feel like, you know, yeah, I just feel so refreshed. You know what I mean? So where can the space come from, Lord? And that's what we want to do. If you would just stand with me this morning, I want to pray for you. And all of us. In the coming weeks, we're going to really start to look into how. How do we really build this? And if you will, with the illustration, what are the priorities and things we can begin to put in first so that we're seeing the results that Jesus, quite honestly, died for in our lives? Lord, thank you so much for your truth, your faithfulness to us, Lord. I pray that right now, Lord, that you would just begin to give us ideas of how we can create space in our life so that you could take the reins of our routine and our schedule and our habits and our ways, Lord, our just even unconscious ways, and begin to help us build, help us to develop the routine and the structure and the way of living that produces real peace, real joy, intimacy with you, and healthy relationships with brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord. Help us to find that rhythm and that space in our lives beginning this week. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.